Gyanam teham svijnanam idam vaksham yasheshatah yajyatva neha bhunyon yaj gyatavyam avashishyate. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and nominal, by knowing which there shall remain nothing further to be known. We are reading this evening from Sri Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, which is entitled Knowledge of the Absolute. Here Krishna is making a profound and absolute claim that the teachings of Bhagavad Gita explain everything, both eternal and temporary. Whatever is to be known within this universe and beyond is being taught by the Supreme Lord Himself in these most sacred pages of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains, Rajavidya Rajabhuyam Pavitram Itamuttamam Pratyakshavagamam Gadharamam Shushukam Karatam Avyayam, that this knowledge, it is the king of education. It is the most confidential wisdom. Why? Because by understanding these teachings, we can have direct perception of the self and attain eternal joy. There are so many forms of education in this world. We send our children to elementary school, then to high school, then to college, university, and they get more and more degrees, more and more titles after their names. But Krishna explains that this information of the Gita is the king of knowledge, because it describes the truth. In our material educational systems, they are explaining to us so many various ways by which, through our mind and through our bodies, we can manipulate this material energy, by which we can earn more money, by which we can become more prestigious and famous by our work. But none of these things can bring about an understanding of the truth, nor can they give one real happiness. Why? Because we must understand, what is happiness? In order to understand what is happiness, we must understand who we are. This is the first basic teaching of Gita, that we are not this body. We are not of this material nature. We are living within this body. But who are we? Just as when you are driving in a car, an automobile, the automobile is serving a particular purpose. Perhaps it is a very important purpose. And you supply the automobile its needs by giving it petrol and oil. But what are the needs of the driver of the automobile? Not petrol, not oil. If you drink petrol, you will die. Or at the least, you will become terribly sick. In the same way, by trying to give pleasure to our true selves, by giving enjoyment to this body and this mind, it is like giving petrol to the driver of the automobile. Because we are not these bodies. Dehinosmin yatha dehe komaram yovaram jada tatha deham tara praptir dhirastatra namuyate vasamsi janan yatha vihayana vani granati naroparani tatha sarirani vihaya janani anyati samyani tamani dehi. That the eternal soul, the Atma, which is the true person of our own existence, is traveling through various stages of this body's development. As a witness, we watch how our body is born, and then the soul moves through this body as it is passing through childhood, and then youth, and then middle age, old age. And what happens at the time of death? Krishna says, just like you take off your clothes to change into another set of clothes, this is what takes place at death. The eternal soul changes bodies. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin nayan bhutva bhavata vanabhuya ajo nitya shashvato yam purano nahanyate hanyamane sarire. But Krishna declares that for the soul there is no such thing as birth, nor is there death. The soul is eternal. It is transcendental. It is part of God. Part, the Atma is part and parcel of the Paramatma. And therefore, Gita declares that the greatest ignorance is to think yourself to be the enjoyer of this body. Yehi samsparashaja bhoga dukha jonaya evate atyanta vanta konteya nathe shuramate buddha. Krishna says that the non-permanent pleasures that come to this body are the sources of all misery, because they have a beginning and an end. They give no pleasure to the soul. This most fundamental, essential teaching is the basis of all spiritual development. Unless we realize that we are not this body and stop trying to enjoy through this body and learn to give enjoyment to the soul, then there is no question of understanding any higher realms of spiritual philosophy. It is all an illusion. An illusion in the sense that we cannot understand it. There's a beautiful story in Srimad Bhagavatam which illustrates so perfectly what Krishna is telling Arjuna in the Gita. There was a great king. His name was Chitraketu. And Maharaj Chitraketu, he had everything a person could want in life. He was young. He was healthy. He was fantastically handsome. He was the king. He lived in a beautiful, beautiful royal palace. He had hundreds and thousands of servants and maidservants willing to give their life for him. He had millions of soldiers in his armies willing to do whatever he so instructed them. and all of his citizens respected him and loved him. And he had many, many beautiful wives. Each one had lovely complexion, lotus-like eyes, and were very charming in every respect. And massive, massive gold and various forms of wealth. No one in this world today could have what Maharaj Chitrakut Ketu had. But he was completely miserable. He was suffering terribly. It is the nature of this material world that how much you acquire, if one thing in your life goes wrong, everything's miserable. No matter what you have, it doesn't matter. There are three types of miseries that can come upon this body and mind at any moment. Ariatmaka, Aribhotaka, Aridaivaka. Ariatmaka means miseries caused by one's own body and mind. I remember when I was young, one of the wealthiest billionaires in all the world. He had so much power, so much prestige, so much money. They don't know what to do with it all. He was in an interview, and he was explaining how miserable he was. Why? Because he had some health problem, where every time he passed urine, it was so painful that he wished he would die. And he would have to pass urine all day long. Ah, such a great soul. He was miserable. He said, what is the use of all my wealth, all my big jet airplanes, all my millions of employees, when all day long I'm just fearing the next time I have to pass water? The miseries of the body and the miseries of the mind. Another great rich man, one of the Rockefellers, his son died. He was eaten alive by cannibals while he was doing a sociological study to get his PhD in New Guinea, an island somewhere. He said, whatever I have in this world, whatever my forefathers have given me, can give me no pleasure because my son is dead. This is called Adiatmaka. That whoever you are, whatever you have accomplished in life, at any moment, the miseries of the body and the mind can spoil everything. And then there is Adi Bhotaka. Miseries caused by other living beings. Sometimes they cause physical harm to us. Sometimes they insult us. It's so painful. For one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. Who is that one famous musician that was supposed to come to Delhi and sing and dance from America? He was very famous. He has millions upon millions, perhaps billions of dollars, God knows. And wherever he goes, people crowd by the tens and thousands, hundreds of thousands to see him. But some little boy discredited him, spoke some bad things against him. And now he's mentally completely miserable. His life is ruined. This is the nature of material existence, Adibhautika. And at any moment, someone could come into your life and create terrible suffering. And then there is Adidaivika. Just like tonight, the people arranging this program, they had everything nicely set up outside, and then it started to rain. Arrivo. And they were too much anxiety, because they did not expect rain, monsoon rainstorm in the middle of January. But these powers, which are beyond human ability to control, are always upon us. Sometimes there is floods. Sometimes there is earthquakes. Last year, in Latur Kilari, these people, just people like you and me, ordinary common people, they performed their work during the day. The husbands came home from their work like any day. The mothers greeted and finished all their household duties. The children came home from school, and they went to sleep like any day, taking it for granted that they will wake up tomorrow and continue pursuing their dreams in life. But beyond anyone's control, there was an earthquake. And over 10,000 of them, they never woke up. And what to speak of those who survived, who had lost their mothers, their fathers, their beloved children, their friends. How much suffering, how much misery. Krishna explains in Gita, Mamu Petya Punara Janmadhukalaya Mashashvatam Napnavanti Mahatmana Sam Sarim Paramam Gatha, that don't try to make this material world a place for your happiness, because it's a place where misery can strike at any time. Realize the eternal self. Impart eternal joy to those you love. This is human existence. There are earthquakes, volcanoes, excessive heat, excessive cold, droughts. In this way, every conditioned being is subjected to these threefold miseries, and they are all utterly beyond our control. Maharaj Chitraketu, he had everything, but he was miserable. So one day, a great sadhu, Angira Rishi, came to his palace. And Maharaj Chitraketu, being a cultured and religious man, immediately understood that being a worldly king is not a very high position. But being a soul who has realized God is the highest position. Angira Muni, he had no material wealth. He had no home. He would just wander about, sleeping in a different place every night, begging for food, just wearing the simple cloth of a sadhu. But Maharaj Chitraketu greeted him by placing him on his own throne, washing his feet, and sitting at his lotus feet, and with great humility, he bowed his head to the ground. And Angira Muni, he inquired from Maharaj Chitraketu, "Is there something wrong? You look so sad. You have everything, but still you look so sad." What is it? Please tell me. And Maharaj Chitraketu said, I have everything, but I do not have a son. I have so many wives, but none of them will grant me a son. And I've tried so hard. He said, he used the example, that just as a person who is starving from hunger and thirst, if you give him a nice garland of flowers and put sandalwood on his head, will he find any satisfaction? He needs food. In the same way, I have everything, but without a son, I'm miserable. Agira Muni, you think that this is the reason that you're miserable? All right. By my powers, I will arrange for you to have a son. And Angira Muni performed a yajna, sacrifice. And from the sacrifice, there was some prasad, some sacred food. He said, you give this to your favorite wife. And he did. And soon after that, she became pregnant. And a child was born, a beautiful child. And Angira Muni said, you should name this child Harsha Shoka. Harsha means joy, Shoka means lamentation. Because this child will give you joy and lamentation. In fact, everything in this world will give you joy and lamentation. So when this son was born, Chitraketu was so happy. He was rejoicing. He had wonderful festival. The whole kingdom was singing and dancing. The king has a son. A new prince has been born. Harivo! He began to give so much charity, and his eyes were just filled with tears of joy upon looking at this beautiful child. And the mother of this child became so infatuated with attachment. They were so happy. But you know, the nature of this world is that one man's food is another man's poison. What brings you happiness may bring sorrow to another. So Chitraketu and the whole kingdom, and especially his wife, his principal queen, were very, very happy, intoxicated with bliss. But the other wives, they began to burn with envy. This is the illusion of material life. The more you have, the more people will envy you and hate you. And why do we have so much? Because we want to impress those people. If you notice, very wealthy people, they don't need all the things they have. They want to impress people. A few years ago, I was in France, Paris. There's a place called the Louvre, which is a big, big museum. Originally, this museum was a magnificent, gigantic, opulent palace for a king, with incredible gardens and fountains and statues. This place has so many rooms and so much opulence that probably he never even saw everything he had. So why does he have it? Him and his family, there's no way they can go in all the... It would take a whole lifetime just to go from room to room and enjoy what's in it. And then he had other palaces and other places. It was only for one reason, to impress people. so that people will think he's great. But did he impress people? Externally, yes. Externally, everyone says, "Oh, you are so great." Why do they say that? Because they want to take something from you. But internally, they're envious. Why him? Why not me? I should be enjoying these luxuries. You buy a new car to impress your friends, and outwardly they will say, "Oh, such a wonderful car. I'm so happy for you." But internally they're saying, "That rascal, I should have this car. Why him? Why not me?" Huh? There's no love in this world on the basis of material acquisition. So although the queens were celebrating, "Oh, our Chitraketu has such a wonderful child," and they were throwing flowers on the child, and they were celebrating and singing and dancing, in their hearts they were so envious that they conspired together to kill the child with poison. In the same way, that king in France, the same people telling how nice he was, they ended up chopping off his head and taking the palace for themselves. Rivo, this is material life. It is a fact. It is history. So, the queens gave poison to the child, and he died. A little baby. How cruel. And these were pious people. Try to understand, these were not demons. They were pious, faithful, chaste, highly cultured ladies. But when envy brews within the heart, it becomes like a fire. And that fire consumes all your good intelligence and all your good qualities. And you become demoniac. We see in our own life, even brothers, when they become envious of one another, they become enemies. Even fathers and sons, due to envy, they become enemies. Husbands and wives, due to envy, they become enemies. So the child appeared to be in very deep sleep. And the nurse was told by the mother, "My child is sleeping so nicely. Please wake him up. Hush, Ashok, hush, Ashok, please wake up, wake up." He didn't wake up. Then she realized his eyes were rolled into his head and there was no signs of life. She fell unconscious and began to weep as soon as she came again to external consciousness. When the queen heard what had happened and saw her dead baby, she began to wail and scream and cry and fall unconscious. And when the news came to King Chitraketu, he was delirious in pain and misery. He was walking and falling and walking and falling. And when he finally came to his son and saw him dead, all he could do is cry. His heart was broken. His life was destroyed. He could no longer take the position of a king or anything. All he could do is lament. So Angira Muni, he came back to the kingdom along with Sri Narada Muni. "So now your son is dead." They began preaching to him that, "Do you not understand the nature of this world? Like two grains of sand come together in the river and then are separated. This is the nature of our relationship with everyone, whether they be our husbands, our wives, our children, our friends, our countrymen. Do you not understand the eternal nature of the soul? This understanding is the only refuge from suffering. We can make so many arrangements, individually, collectively, nationally, internationally, to solve the problems of the world, but there's no solution to birth, old age, disease, and death. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosha nudarshanam. Krishna says these are the real problems. Birth, old age, disease, and death. And no matter how many hospitals you construct, and no matter how much medical technology, and no matter how many armies, and no matter how many nations join the United Nations, and no matter how many bombs we build to protect ourselves, still, everyone is destined to grow old, get diseased, and die. These are the real problems. You can shoot rocket ships to the moon, to Mars, to Venus, but still, the same problems remain right at home: birth, old age, disease, and death. What is the solution? Hospitals, medical technology, politicians, armies, all these things, they are useful to create some temporary arrangement of peace in this world. But ultimately, death is violent. To transcend death through spiritual knowledge and realization is the only solution to the problems of this world. In so many ways, they explain this to Maharaj Chichiketu. To the degree you're attached to anything in this world, to that degree you will suffer when it's taken away. And it will be taken away, one way or other. Maharaj Chitraketu, with great thankfulness in his heart, he said, "Everything you say is true. Please instruct me how I can realize these teachings." And Narada Muni told him a particular mantra which he should chant, which is comprised of the holy names of God, Vasudev. And he told him, "You chant this mantra sincerely and you will realize the highest truth." And then Narada Muni brought the sun back to life. He said, "Harshashoka, do not you see that you left your father, your mother, weeping, lamenting so terribly? Come back, explain to us." So the son stood up and began to speak. He said, "I am not Harshashoka. I am the Jivatma. I am the eternal soul. And who is my mother? Who is my father? I have transmigrated through 8,400,000 species of life. I've had mothers and fathers as fish, as trees and plants. At one time, I was insect, reptile. I went through all the various species of beasts and animals and birds. And in this human, so many human forms I have had. Which father and mother do you want me to be attached to? By your supreme will, by the supreme will of the Lord, we are all destined to live in a particular place for some time, and then we must go." Krishna explains in the Gita the nature of karma. This material creation is consisting of the three modes of material nature: Rajaguna, Tamaguna, and sattva-guna. And according to our actions, sinful or pious, we must accept a particular reaction. This is called karma. It is an undeniable, irrefutable law that no one can escape. Karma is a law of nature. There is a law of nature called gravity. Simple. What goes up must come down. Anything you throw up will come down. A child can understand. What goes up must come down. Because it is a law of the world. You can send what happened recently, Indian Airlines, they sent one airplane up and it ran out of fuel. So it had to come down. Couldn't stay up very long. Landed in somebody's rice field. When it's time to come down, you go down. The law of karma is, for every action, there is an equal corresponding reaction. You cause harm to another, that harm must come upon you. You act sinfully, you must get an equal corresponding misery in your own life. And if you act pious, whatever good you have done, pleasure will come to you. But today, even in our own schools and colleges, and even in our own homes, people are not educated to understand the laws of nature. You kill an animal to eat it, but you do not know that in killing that animal and causing it pain, whether you kill it yourself or whether you are a part of the conspiracy by paying for the death of that animal, you must suffer the same pain that that animal has suffered. You may say, I don't believe it. You may as well not believe that what goes up must come down. For every action, there is an equal corresponding reaction. You cause pain to another, you suffer. Today, in the name of family planning, there is abortion. And all politicians are arguing over whether it should be legal, illegal. But it doesn't matter what they decide, because the laws of nature remain the same. If the politicians decide that what goes up does not come down, still it's going to come down. This watch is not going to last very long in my hands. Similarly, you kill a child, according to Manu Smriti, you have to be killed within the womb of your mother, time and time again, as a reaction. This is the laws of nature. You cheat someone, you will be cheated. Either in this life or in the future. But some people, they think, how is this possible? I know people who are so crooked and so lying and so cheating, and they're very happy and prosperous. And I know nice, pious, honest, religious people who are suffering. Doesn't make sense. But this is a limited vision. You must know that there is a saying in English that the mills of God, they grind slow but exceedingly fine. It's just a matter of time. Just like an example, if you have a container holding rice and you take out from the bottom of the container and put in through the top, If you put good rice in at the beginning, then you're getting nice rice. But if you put stale rice in, it's just a matter of time till that stale rice comes out. Similarly, some people, they have performed great pious, virtuous religious activities, and they're enjoying. But now, because of their pride, they just see how pious and how successful I am. They become sinful. But after all their piety wears out, what awaits them? All the miseries and sufferings of their irreligious activities. Cannot escape. And some people have been sinful in the past, but now they are living very holy, pure lives. So, let whatever residue of remaining karma come out, and then all of the good pleasures of this world will come upon them. This is the laws of karma. But Krishna explains in Gita, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Vavarjuna Niradvanvo Nitya Shatvashto Niyogakshema Atmavan. That good karma and bad karma, it is all ultimately material and it is all ultimately going to end in death. So therefore, we must learn to live for the truth. We must be educated to understand what is really the goal of life. Maharaj Chitraketu, upon hearing his son speak, upon hearing his son explain that I am simply acting according to the ultimate will of the Lord, he became enlightened. And then his son lay down and again died. And Maharaj Chitraketu surrendered to the instructions of his Gurudev, chanted the holy name of God, and became a completely purified, self-realized soul, experiencing the immortal bliss of Krishna. The Vedanta Sutra explains, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. This human life is exclusively meant for realizing that absolute truth. Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, used to say that whatever we learn, whatever we do in this world is like so many zeros. However much education, however much money, however much power, it's all like so many zeros because at the time of death you have nothing. And death can come at any moment. Krishna is like the one. Anything that follows that one only increases the value of your life. It is not that education is wrong. Education is good, provided we understand how to use it according to our constitutional position. This is the basic principle of the Gita. Krishna spoke this knowledge to Arjuna. Arjuna was not a sannyasi. He was a householder. He had several wives. He was not a Brahmin. He was a warrior. And he went to the ashram of Dronacharya, which was like a university, and he learned so many subjects from him. Duryodhana learned the same thing that Arjuna did at the same college. But what was the difference between Duryodhana and Arjuna? Arjuna did it for Krishna. And Duryodhana did it for his own selfish purposes. And what was the result? One suffered a terrible death, and one attained eternal love
and eternal life.
To utilize whatever this world has to give us according to our true eternal position is knowledge. This is the teachings of Gita.
Krishna says in Gita, Yaj joho shinatasya yat tapasya sikontaya tat.
Eat, whatever you offer and give away, do it as an offering of love to me. This is our nature. We are eternally part of Krishna. We are the eternal servants of Krishna. Whether we are businessmen, or whether we are mothers, or whether we are doctors, or lawyers, or farmers, or teachers, or students, if we learn how to perform our occupation in consciousness of Krishna, in the service of Krishna, our life is perfect.
Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masuchaha.
Krishna says, you abandon all varieties of religious principles and surrender to me. What does it mean to surrender to Krishna?
Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru vame vaishyashi chatyam te prati jani priyoshime.
Always think of me, Krishna says. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage to me. Arjuna's qualification for understanding the Gita was he was Krishna's devotee, willing to surrender his life and everything within his life for the pleasure of Krishna.
Bhaktoshi me shakacheti yahasyam retarutamam.
Gita teaches that it is only through devotion that he can be understood as he is. The Supreme Absolute Truth does not require our high education. He does not require our money.
Vedaham samaditani vartamanani chaujuna bhavashani chabutani mam tu vedana kashchana.
Krishna says, I know everything happening in the past, everything that will happen in the future. I know every living being.
Vedaishta sarveraham eva vedyo.
He is the compiler of all the Vedas. He's the knower of the Vedas. He's the goal of the Vedanta. Do you think by learning hundreds and thousands of slokas you can impress Krishna? Do you think by being a great stalwart philosopher you can impress Krishna? No. He doesn't need your knowledge. He's the source of all knowledge. Do you think by giving some donation of money or building a temple, you will please Krishna? He's Lakshmipati. He's the Lord and the husband of Lakshmi Devi. What does he need your money? What does he need your donation? Do you think he needs your influence or your prestige? By his glance, he can create or destroy the entire cosmic manifestation. Krishna is Atmaram. He requires nothing from anyone. But he is Bhaktavatsal. He is always hungry to taste the sweetness of the love of his devotee.
Mother Yashoda, she was a gopi. She was not a big scholar. She lived in the simple village of Brajbhumi. She would churn the butter and she would clean the pots. She was a mother, but such a nice mother. And she loved Krishna. And because of that love, Krishna became like a dancing puppet in her hands. When she would become angry with Krishna out of her love, Krishna would run away in fear. That same Krishna, whose mere partial expansion was Lord Nrsimhadev, who fearlessly ripped apart the greatest of all demons, Hiranyakashipu, who Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Vayu, they were afraid to even approach. He was so big, terrible, and ferocious. The supreme source of Lord Nrsimhadev is trembling with tears in his eyes out of fear of Mother Yashoda because he had just stolen butter. What was Mother Yashoda's power to make the supreme Godhead subordinate? Her love, her bhakti, her devotion. Sri Dham, one of the cowherd friends, he would wrestle with Krishna and he would defeat Krishna each and every time. How is it that a little cowherd boy defeats the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because Krishna is all powerful. Do you think Krishna is going to take pleasure in beating up Subal or Sridhama? Just like a father, when a father plays with his little son, the son is 5 years old, the father is 45. Do you think that will give the father pleasure to beat up his son? But when he lets the son beat him up, it gives great pleasure. Yes, 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 I am defeated. Yes, yes, I have beat up my father. This is pleasurable. Krishna allows himself to be defeated by the love of his devotees. This is the essence of Gita. Bhakti mam abhijanati yavan yascha smitatvataha. Krishna says, it is only through pure unalloyed devotion that I can be known as I am, that I can be realized as I am. And how to awaken that devotion, which is the eternal natural quality of our own soul, of our jivatma. Krishna explains, by always thinking of him, by offering whatever we do in his loving service. It is so simple. Krishna appeared in this age of Kali Yuga in order to teach by his own example how to live and perfect the realization of the Gita. He appeared as the Yuga Avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Sri Chaitanya, he taught Prema Pumartha Mahan that there are so many goals of life that people are striving for, but there was one supreme goal: to love Krishna. It is the only goal that will completely satisfy all your heart's desires forever. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudicheti Koriya Yudoi. And that love of Krishna is dormant. It is within the heart of every living being. How to awaken that inherent love? How to awaken the original consciousness within us, which is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss? All of the scriptures declare the simple process by associating with saintly persons, sadhu sangha,
Without sadhu sangha, there is no possibility of anyone making any true spiritual progress.
Sravanadi suri cheti koriya yudoi.
And what is the most wonderful, relishable activity that takes place amongst devotees of the Lord when they come together? They hear the glories of the Lord and they chant His holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
In this age of Kali Yuga, there is no more effective process of remembering Krishna and reviving our original spiritual consciousness than chanting the names of God in the association of His devotees. It is so simple and so wonderful.
Kaler dosanide rajan astihe kamahan guna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha param rajet.
That this age of Kali Yuga, which we are living in, it is an ocean of faults. Look around you, see the corruption, see the suffering, see the filthiness everywhere. It is an ocean of faults. The scripture says there is only one blessing in this age of Kali Yuga. That anyone, if they simply take shelter of the name of Krishna, they can attain the supreme perfection of liberation. And this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to practically demonstrate. There are many games of God. In the various religions of the world, God is called upon by His devotees. And they are all pure. And they can all revive that original natural consciousness within us. But in the Vedic literatures, of all mantras, of all God's names, Lord Chaitanya taught that the most effective is the Maha Mantra. It is the mantra which is especially given by Bhagwan in this age of Kali to bring about the perfection of our life. Pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted love for the Supreme Lord. And there is no greater gift of charity that we can give to anyone than to give them the opportunity to once and for all transcend all the limitations and miseries of this existence and attain pure love, prema. Prema is beyond liberation, beyond mukti. And it is all available to all of us through simply chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare
Hare. Very loudly, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So my humble request to all of you this evening is, do not take this lecture, or for that matter, any spiritual function, as simply a form of entertainment or an opportunity to become a little more pious.
but we must imbibe what we hear into our life. We must understand that every moment we are one day closer to death. And there is no greater loss than to waste time within our life. If we know what's right, we must pursue it. We must dedicate our lives to that. Why should we waste our time? You cannot buy back a lost moment for all the wealth in the world. Every moment, every second, every minute, every hour is infinitely precious opportunity to come closer to the true perfection of life. We must regularly hear from Gita. We must regularly associate with pure, sincere devotees who are genuinely aspiring to dedicate their lives in the service of Krishna. And most of all, we must regularly, in our own homes, as well as in the assembly of Vaishnavas, we must learn how to find the supreme ecstasy of Krishna within our own hearts by chanting his holy names. And when we chant loudly amongst other devotees, that vibration travels through the entire atmosphere and cleanses not only our own hearts, but cleanses the hearts of all fortunate souls who hear the transcendental sound of Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Thank you very much, Hare Paul.
Hare Krishna. तो महाराज ने ये जो आज प्रवचन बताया उसमें श्रीमद् भगवद गीता के सातवें अध्याय से ये श्लोक में बताया कि भगवान श्री कृष्ण अर्जुन को बता रहे हैं कि मैं आपको अभी वो ज्ञान बताऊंगा जिसको जानने पर और कुछ जानने योग्य रहेगा ही नहीं। तो श्री कृष्ण भगवान जो है ये गीता में शिक्षा दे रहे हैं कि नित्य क्या है और अशाश्वत जो कुछ समय के रहने वाला है वो क्या है। और कृष्ण भगवान बता रहे हैं कि ये राज्य विद्या है, क्योंकि इस विद्या को जानने से हम सच्चा जो है आत्म साक्षात्कार कर सकते हैं और आनंद की प्राप्ति कर सकते हैं। अनेक प्रकार की विद्याएं होते हैं इस दुनिया में, लोग अनेक डिग्री हासिल करते हैं, लेकिन सबसे बड़ी विद्या वो है कि जिससे हमें सत्य या सुख की प्राप्ति हो सकती है। वास्तव में सुख क्या है? सुख प्राप्त करने के लिए पहले हमें ये जानना होगा कि हम कौन हैं। हम ये शरीर नहीं हैं। जैसे कि अगर कोई व्यक्ति कोई वाहन चला रहा हो तो उस वाहन को पेट्रोल की जरूरत होती है, लेकिन उस ड्राइवर को जो है पेट्रोल से कार्य नहीं चल सकता। उसी तरह से हमारी आत्मा की भी अनेक आवश्यकताएं हैं। भगवद गीता में बताया गया है कि आत्मा जो है बचपन से जवानी, जवानी से वृद्धावस्था, ये शरीर बदल रहा है। और मृत्यु का मतलब ये है कि एक शरीर को छोड़कर दूसरे शरीर को प्राप्त करना, जैसे कि एक कपड़े को उतारकर दूसरे कपड़े प्राप्त करते हैं। आत्मा का न तो जन्म होता है और न ही उसकी मृत्यु होती है, और वो भगवान का अंश है। सबसे बड़ा अज्ञान यह है कि हम इस शरीर का भोग करने का प्रयास कर रहे हैं। कृष्ण भगवान बतलाते हैं कि इस संसार के सुख जो हैं वो अशाश्वत हैं और वो अंत में दुख में परिवर्तित हो जाते हैं। इस बारे में श्रीमद् भागवत में राजा चित्रकेतु की कथा आती है कि राजा चित्रकेतु के पास सब कुछ था, ज्ञान, विद्या, महल, अनेक सेवक और सैनिक और अनेक पत्नियां और स्वर्ण का महल, सब कुछ होने के बावजूद वो बहुत दुखी थे। क्योंकि ये संसार का स्वभाव है कि अगर आपके पास कुछ भी हो फिर भी अगर एक चीज न हो तो दुख हो जाता है। तीन प्रकार के दुख हम देखते हैं, आध्यात्मिक, वो दुख जो कि अपने मन और शरीर से आते हैं, और अधिभौतिक, जो दुख जो है दूसरे प्राणियों से आते हैं, और अधिदैविक, जो कि हमारी हमारे बड़े जो चीज हैं जैसे बहुत बरसात हो जाना या जैसे भूकंप आ जाना, इस तरह की चीजों को अधिदैविक दुख कहते हैं। तो ये तीन प्रकार के दुख जो हैं उनको हमें सहन करना है। चित्रकेतु महाराज के पास सब कुछ था लेकिन उनके पास जो है पुत्र नहीं था। तो एक बार अंगिरा ऋषि जब उनके घर में प्रवेश करते हैं, वो उनके चरण कमल को धोते हैं और वो अंगिरा ऋषि उनसे पूछते हैं कि आप दुखी क्यों हैं। तो राजा चित्रकेतु अपने दुख का कारण बताते हैं कि मेरे पास कोई पुत्र नहीं है। वो बतलाते हैं कि जिस तरह से अगर कोई आदमी भूखा हो और अगर आप उसे माला पहनावे तो उसकी भूख संतुष्ट नहीं हो सकती, उसी तरह से सब होने के बावजूद मेरे पास पुत्र न होने की वजह से मैं संतुष्ट नहीं हूँ। तो अंगिरा ऋषि कहते हैं कि ठीक है, आपको पुत्र प्राप्त होगा, आप उसका नाम हर्ष शोक रखेंगे, यानी वो हर्ष भी देगा और शोक भी देगा। और जब चित्रकेतु को पता चलता है कि मुझे पुत्र हुआ है तो वे इतने खुश होते हैं, खुशी के मारे पागल होते हैं, और उनकी पत्नी जिसको पुत्र होता है वो भी बहुत प्रसन्न होती है। लेकिन इस दुनिया में एक आदमी का सुख दूसरे आदमी का दुख बन जाता है। तो जब उसकी पत्नी जो होती है जिसको पुत्र होता है तो दूसरी रानियां उससे ईर्ष्या करने लग जाती हैं और उसे उस छोटे पुत्र को जहर देके मार देते हैं। बाद में जब रानी को राजा को पता चलता है कि हमारे इकलौते पुत्र की मृत्यु हो गई है तो बड़े दुखी हो जाते हैं, तो बहुत रोते रोते पागल से होने लगते हैं। और उसी समय अंगिरा मुनि नारद मुनि के साथ फिर से प्रवेश करते हैं और नारद मुनि उन्हें ज्ञान देते हैं कि हम आत्मा हैं, हम तो एक छोटे से अंश हैं, थोड़े समय के लिए साथ में आए हैं और फिर अलग हो जाते हैं। सच्ची समस्या है जन्म मृत्यु बीमारी और अंत में जन्म मृत्यु जरा और व्याधि, और हर एक व्यक्ति को जो है मरना तो ही है ही। व्यक्ति चाहे आकाश में रॉकेट भेज देवे लेकिन सच्ची समस्या यह है कि हम भगवान को भूल जाने के कारण जन्म मृत्यु जरा व्याधि में हैं। तो यही मृत्यु के परे जाना यही जीवन का वास्तविक उद्देश्य है। तो राजा चित्रकेतु ये बताने लगे, पूछने लगे कि मैं इस सत्य को कैसे जान सकता हूँ। तो नारद मुनि ने उन्हें मंत्र दिया, तत्पश्चात नारद मुनि ने उनके पुत्र को पुनर्जीवित किया और उनका पुत्र बताने लगा कि मैं तो एक आत्मा हूँ, कौन मेरा माता कौन मेरा पिता है, मैं कई योनियों से घुमा हूँ, 84 लाख योनि में, कभी कीड़े में, कभी पतंग में, कभी पशु में, कभी पक्षी में, और मेरे अनेक माता पिता हो चुके हैं। वास्तव में कर्म का नियम जो है वो बड़ा ही कठोर है, उसको कोई बदल नहीं सकता। जो भी चीज़ ऊपर जाती है वो नीचे आनी है, उसी प्रकार से कर्मों के अनुसार व्यक्ति को फल भोगना ही है और हम इस फल को जो है बदल नहीं सकते। हो सकता है कोई व्यक्ति अभी अच्छे फल भोग रहा हो हालांकि वो बुरे कार्य कर रहा है, ये तो उसके पिछले कर्मों का फल है। और कृष्ण भगवान ये गीता में बताते हैं कि हमें वास्तव में कर्म बुरे और अच्छे इन दोनों से ही परे जाना है। और वेदांत सूत्र इसके बारे में बताते हैं कि हमें ब्रह्म के बारे में जिज्ञासा प्राप्त करनी है। श्रील प्रभुपाद जी बतलाते हैं कि हमारे जीवन में सब चीज़ें जो हैं वो शून्य के समान हैं और बिना कृष्ण के उनका कोई महत्व नहीं है, लेकिन कृष्ण एक के बराबर हैं, अगर हम उनको जोड़ दें तो सबका महत्व हो जाता है। दुर्योधन और अर्जुन दोनों योद्धा थे, दोनों ने एक ही शिक्षा प्राप्त की थी, लेकिन क्योंकि दुर्योधन ने अपने स्वार्थ के लिए उसका उपयोग किया इसलिए अंत में उसकी बड़ी कठिन मृत्यु हुई, और क्योंकि अर्जुन ने कृष्ण के लिए उपयोग किया उनका जीवन सफल हुआ। श्री कृष्ण भगवान गीता में बताते हैं कि सब धर्मों को छोड़कर मेरी शरण में आ जाओ, मैं तुम्हारी रक्षा करूंगा। और शरण में आने का मतलब वो बताते हैं, हमेशा मेरा चिंतन करो, मेरा भक्त बनो, मेरे को नमस्कार करो। अर्जुन की योग्यता ये थी कि वो भगवान के भक्त थे। कृष्ण भगवान ये कहते हैं कि मैं सिर्फ शुद्ध भक्ति के द्वारा जाना जा सकता हूँ। परम तत्व को जानने के लिए ये जरूरी नहीं है कि हम बहुत अमीर हों या वेदों में पढ़े लिखे हों। भगवान को हमारी कोई चीज़ की जरूरत नहीं है, वो तो भक्त वत्सल हैं। वही भगवान जो है जिसे ब्रह्मा जी और शिव जी कांपते हैं, वही भगवान यशोदा माता के मारे डर के मक्खन चोरी पे जो है उनके आंखों में अश्रु आ जाते हैं। ये भक्ति के कारण जो है भगवान भी अपने भक्त के अधीन बन जाते हैं। तो गीता का सार यही है कि हम भक्ति के द्वारा ही भगवान को जान सकते हैं। और ये भक्ति को कैसे जागृत करना है, इस कलयुग में श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु ने समझाया है कि हम हरि नाम संकीर्तन के द्वारा अपना नित्य सिद्ध कृष्ण प्रेम को पुनर्जागृत कर सकते हैं। सारे शास्त्रों का कहना है कि साधु संग करने से ही हम प्रगति कर सकते हैं, और इस साधु संग में भगवान के नाम का श्रवण और भगवान का कीर्तन करना है। कलयुग में अनेक दोष हैं लेकिन भगवान का नाम लेना यही ये सब दोषों को दूर कर देता है। और सब नामों में भी श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु ने ये हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र दिया है जिसके द्वारा शुद्ध कृष्ण प्रेम जो है पुनः जागृत हो सकता है। तो महाराज का सबसे निवेदन है कि आप ये मत समझिए कि आप यहाँ मनोरंजन के लिए आए हैं या सिर्फ किसी सत्कार्य के लिए आए हैं, लेकिन अपनी कृष्ण भावना को पुनर्जागृत करने का प्रयास करिए। हर दिन हम मृत्यु के करीब आ रहे हैं, अपने समय को बर्बाद मत करो और हर क्षण जो है भगवान की भक्ति करके भगवान का नाम संकीर्तन करो। जब हम भगवान का नाम जोर से कीर्तन करते हैं तो ये ध्वनि सब जगह फैल जाती है और सब आत्माओं के हृदय को साफ कर देती है। हरे कृष्ण।
For further details of this cassette, please contact Radhanath Swami Tape Ministry, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Address is 7 KM Munshi Marg, Chowpatty, Bombay 400007, India.
Vishnupadaya Krishna Pri-